Today, we continue in our study of Mishnayos Meseches Shvuos with lesson number 24. We will be continuing in the sixth perek, Mishnah 5 and 6, Perek Chamishi, Mishnah Hey and Mishnah Vov. The discussion continues on the subject of Shvuas Hadayonim, the Shvuah which the court requires of a person, and that this requirement is a requirement min HaTorah, and the specific cases that we're discussing are cases of Modeh B'Miktzas, where the Nitba agrees that he owes some of the claim that the Toveya is making, but not all of it. And one of the things we already alluded to, and now we'll learn more about it, is that there is no shavua required for karkos, for real property, for real estate. So that if the Toveya says you owe me an acre of land, and the Nitba says I only owe you half an acre, there's no shavuas modeh b'miktzas because ein nishboin al hakarkos. The source for this halacha, which is a familiar halacha to people who study the Talmud, is in this Mishnah, Mishnah Hey of Perek Vov of Shvuos. The Mishnah says, "Ve'elu devorim she'ein nishboin aleihem." The following objects or materials or properties are those which for which there is no shvuah. The person does not have to swear with regard to claims made of him. With reference to the following. Number one is avodim, slaves. Of course, we're referring to avodim kena'aniyim, Gentile slaves who have undergone certain halachic procedures and have a certain halachic status. Suppose the Toveya says, you know, you owe me five slaves. Nitba says, I only owe you three slaves. There's no shvuah for slaves, as we will soon see. V'hashtoros, the same thing is true for documents. The Toveya says, I left you my briefcase full of documents, bills of sale, documents which recorded loans that I made. I want it back. And the other person says, I don't have them, or I have some of them and not all of them. You never gave me all as many as you say you gave me. There's no shvuah for shtoros. And we'll see why too in a moment. V'hakarkos, and similarly claims of land, which we already gave you examples of. V'ha-hekdeshos, and also for property which is hekdesh, which belongs to the treasury, so to speak, of the Beis HaMikdash. Why is it? Why are these categories exempt from shvuah? The Gemara explains that we have a pasuk in Parshas Mishpotim upon which this whole halacha is based. And it's in Parshas Mishpotim in Perek Chof Beis, Pasuk Vov. And the pasuk reads, "Ki itein ish al reyehu kesef o kelim lishmo." If a man gives to his fellow money or utensils to watch, to guard for him, so the Gemara makes a drasha of a klal upratu klal. If you look at this pasuk carefully, you will see that there is first a general, comprehensive statement, a klal. Then there is a specific example given. That's a prat. And then there was a second klal, a second general comprehensive state. Now the pasuk begins, ki yitei nishal riayu. If you give something to your fellow, something could be anything. That's a klal, a general statement. The pasuk then continues and gives examples, kesef o kelim, money or utensils or furniture or whatever. Then it says again, lishmor. Lishmor can apply to anything, to protect, to guard, to ensure, supervise. We know that among the 13 midos shehatorah nedreshes bahem, the 13 principles by which one studies Torah and deduces various lessons, is the rule that says, where there's a klal upratu klal, ia todon elok ein haprat. Then we take a look, and the halacha applies not to everything, because there are a prat, but not only to the protim, in this case kesef or kelim, but to anything which resembles kesef and the kelim. Now, what resembles kesef and kelim? The Gemara says, Maha prat mefurosh dovor hamitalteil v'gufa mamul. Kesef and kelim have the following two properties. They are mitaltel. You can move them around. It's not real property that you can't move a farm around. It's in one place. But kesef and kelim can be moved around, number one. And number two, it's gufo momo. The money is money. The kelim have value. As opposed, let's say, to a shtar. A shtar is a piece of paper which says that you owe me money. Now, it's very important for me to have that paper, but the paper itself is not worth anything. It's a piece of paper. It's only what the paper represents and symbolizes and testifies to that's valuable. But the paper itself is not. So paper, shtoros, are not gufo momon, whereas kesef and kelim are gufo momon. So therefore, the halachos of shua satayonim of modi b'miktsas only apply to those objects which are mitaltel, which are transportable, and those objects which are gufo momon. Karka, real estate, is not mitaltel. Avodim are compared, the category of avodim, knaniim, are compared to karkos. As the Pasuk says, v'hisnachaltem osom livnechem achareichem noreshes achuzo, that the avodim knaniim, which are in the possession of a person, can be given over through inheritance but to a person's heirs. And therefore, they are similar, and the Torah compares them to an achuza, to a piece of property. So therefore, karka and avodim knaniim are out of the picture. They do not resemble kesef and kelim. Karka, because it's not metaltel, avodim are compared to karkos, and shtoros, contracts, bills of sale, etc., are not a gufo mamon, they're only pieces of paper, and therefore they are excluded from the requirements of shvuah. Hekdish, the reason why property of hekdish does not, if a person denies owing hekdish certain properties or parts, some of certain properties, the rules of modiv miktsas would not apply to him, because the pasuk reads ki iten ishel reyehu, if you give to your fellow, to your peer, reyehu v'lo lehekdish. Hekdish, the possessions of the Beis HaMikdash, Beis HaMikdash is not your peer. The Mishnah says further, ein bohem tashlumei kefel, that karka, avodim, shtoros, and hekdish, the rule of tashlumei kefel, the knas of tashlumei kefel, does not apply. Normally, if a person steals something and he's found out, he has to return twice the value of the object. If he steals something worth $100, he has to pay back $200. Tashlumei kefel. That's a knas, which we discussed in an earlier lesson. Suppose the shtoros or the avodim are stolen. Well, then there is no shvuah. With reference to, no tashlume kefel rather, I'm sorry, no tashlume kefel with reference to stolen objects, if the stolen objects are in the categories of avodim karkos, metaltelin, and hegdish. Again, because the pasuk says, with reference to tashlume kefel, I'll call varpesh, I'll show achamor, etc., yishalem shnayim l'rayehu. L'rayehu only applies to your fellow, your peer, and not to Hegdish, and the Klalu Pratu Klal there, in that Pasuk, which is the Klal of Al Kold Var Pesha as a Klal, Al Shor Al Chamor as a Prat, Al Kol Avedo as again a Klal. So therefore, the only objects to which Tashlume Kefel apply are something like a Shor or a Chamor or a Seh, an ox or a donkey or a sheep, and therefore, avodim and karkos and shtoros are not like sheep. They're not gufo mamon, or in the case of shtoros, or they're not metaltel as animals are in the case of karka. So therefore, there's no din of tashlume kefel if a person steals avodim, karkos, metaltel, and hektish. V'lo tashlumei arbo v'chamisha. Similarly, if a person steals an ox or a sheep of hekdesh, let's say, and shechts it or sells it, he does not have to pay five times the value of the shor or four times the value of the seh, five times the value of the ox or four times the value of the seh, as the Torah generally requires, because since we just learned that because of the phrasing of the pasuk by tashlumei kefel, he's exempt from tashlumei kefel. So if he's exempt from tashlumei kefel, he's also exempt from tashlumei arbo v'chamisha. Because since he's exempt from kefel, arbo would never be arbo. Arbo would only be three. And chamisha would not be five. It would be only four, because that kefel hundred would be taken out of the picture because it's exempt from tashlumei kefel. And the Torah said, arbo v'chamisha v'lo shlosha v'arbo. The Mishnah continues and says, shomer chinom eino nishba. Normally, if a person is a shomer chinom, shomer, a watchman, is given something to watch for another person, for the mafkid, for the person who's entrusted, by the person who's entrusting him, and the shomer is taking no money for watching this particular object. So, if the shomer chinom says, I'm sorry, but the object you gave me to watch was stolen or lost, so he would be potur from paying, except that we're not sure that it's true that the object was stolen or lost. So he has to make a shvua, or shvuas hashomrim, that he didn't break the object intentionally or neglect it in some way. And the pasuk says in reference to such a person, v'nikrav bal habayis el ho Elohim im lo sholach yodo v'imlech esreyehu. That's the halacha by if a person is entrusted to watch silverware, to watch an animal, etc. But if he's given avodim to watch, or shtoros to watch, or the behemos of Hegdish to watch, and they become lost, or he is given land to watch, but and the land becomes ruined in some way, then he does not have to swear shelo posha. He does not have to swear that he was not negligent, because the shvua required of a shomer chinam says specifically, ki iten yishel riehu kesef o kelim lishmor. We already learned kesef or kelim means the category of objects which are metaltlin v'gufon mamon. And shtaros are not gufon mamon, karka not movable, avodim are hukshu l'karkos, and hegdish, again the pasuk reads, ki tenish el reyehu. Reyehu excludes hegdish. Reyehu means your peer. No say socho. Suppose a person is a different type of watchman. Not that he's watching these objects that were entrusted to him for free as a favor, but rather he's being paid to watch these objects. And the Shomer Socher is obligated to pay for objects which were stolen from him or lost by him, because the Shomer Socher has a greater degree of responsibility. As the Pasuk says again in Parshas Mishpotim, V'im gonov yigonev me'imo yishalem libo'olov. Well, he does not have to pay if slaves, shtoros, karkos, and hegdish are stolen or lost by him. Because again, the pasuk says, ki itenish reyehu chamoro shoro seh v'chol behemo lishmor. So reyehu excludes hegdish, chamoro shoro seh, advorim hametaltlin v'gufon mamon. Therefore, karkos, avodim, and shtoros are excluded from the requirement of a shomer socher to pay for objects which were stolen from him or lost by him. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon makes a distinction within the category of Hekdish. And he says as follows. Kodeshim shechayev b'yachri yuson. If a shomer is given to watch an animal which is Hekdish, an animal which is designated as a korban, for which the owner of the animal who designated as a korban is chayev in the achrayus, must ensure the delivery to the Beis HaMikdash of an animal as a korban. For example, if a person says, Hare olai korban, I hereby promise to give a korban ola. Fine. And now he designates this specific animal in his flock as a korban ola. And he gives over that animal to a shomer to watch. And it's stolen or lost by the shomer. So in such a case, rules Rabbi Shimon, the shomer would have to swear. Why? Because since he said the neder, he promised the korban with the language of Hare Olai, it's incumbent upon me. he's obligated to give a substitute carbon if that one carbon was lost. He must fulfill his vow to bring a carbon. The fact that this particular carbon was lost or stolen, too bad. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon feels that that is more of a monetary obligation, and that is different from Stam Hegdish. After all, if you're obligated to make up for something, to pay back for something, it's in your rishus in a certain respect, even though it's technically belonging to Hegdish. But if something happens to it, you're responsible to compensate, to bring another carbon, another animal as a carbon. So therefore, Rav Shimon feels that there would be a shvua in a case where the owner of the carbon said hare olai and is obligated to replace the lost or stolen carbon. However, v'she'eino chayav ba'achriyuson, suppose the owner of the carbon didn't say hare olai, it's upon me, incumbent upon me to bring a carbon, but rather he said hare zo. He said this particular animal is now hereby designated as a carbon olah. If that animal gets lost or stolen, the owner does not have to bring a substitute, a replacement carbon, because he designated this specific animal. This specific animal is gone. So he too bad, it's gone, is gone. He's not obligated in the achrayus, he's not obligated to replace that animal. So Rav Shimon says, in that case, if it's an example of Hare Zo as opposed to Hare Olai, if it gets lost or stolen, he's the shomer who was supposed to prevent theft or loss does not have to swear. Ein nishboin aleihem, because that is already in Rishus Hegdish. Once he said Hare Zo, it already is Hegdish's property, not the original owner. And the rule is you do not have to swear for objects which belong to Hegdish. The halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon. The halacha is whatever kind of kochim, whether chayav yachrayas, hare olai, or eino chayav bachrayas, hare zo, in any case, a shomer does not have to swear with reference to animals designated as korbanos. So that was Mishnah He. Mishnah Vav continues along these lines and points out that Rabbi Meir Omer, Yesh Devorim Shehein Bakarka, there are things on the land. Some read here, Yesh Devorim Shehein Kekarka, there are things which are like the land, but Ve'enon Kekarka, they do not have the halacha of karkos. In other words, the rules of shvua, etc., would apply to these objects. Says Rabbi Meir, Ve'en Chachomim Modim Lo. The Chachomim, peers of Rabbi Meir, Meir's colleagues, did not agree with him. Ketzad. What's an example of this? So the Mishnah gives an example. The Toveya comes and says, Eser Gefonim Te'unos Mosarti Loch. I gave you over 10 vines. Each of them was loaded with grapes. Already, grapes are on the vines, attached to the ground through the vine. I gave you 10 loaded ones, and therefore I want back 10. V'hala omer, the nitba says, Einon elachomesh, you never gave me 10, you only gave me 5. So Rav Meir says, Gefanim te'unos, have I halacha like metaltalin, not like karka. Yesh devarim shehem bakarka, they're still attached to the earth, but they're grapes. What's the difference if they're attached to the vine or they're sitting in a box, Rab Meir feels. And therefore, Rab Meir mechayev shvua. The Gemara explains that we're speaking here of anovim ha'omdim lihi botzer, grapes which are ready for the grape harvest. They're ready to be removed from the vines. And Rab Meir says, Anovim ha'omdim li botzer kibitzurim heim. These are already considered like harvested grapes. They're fully ripened grapes. So we adjudge them to be metaltalin. We adjudge them to be fruits, not part of the earth, just because they're connected to the vine. So says Rab Meir, and therefore Rab Meir says there has to be a shvua in the case where the Toveya says, I gave you 10 loaded vines, and the Nitba admits only to 5. The Chachamim say, no, just because they're ready to be harvested, they're not harvested. They're connected to the ground. And if they're connected to the ground, they have a halacha of karka, and we've already learned, ein nishboim al hakarkos. And the halacha, by the way, is like the chachomim. The Mishnah here, Mishnah Vav, adds another halacha, not directly related to what we've been studying about, but certainly directly related to the principal example that we've been discussing of Shvuas Hadayonim, namely Moda B'Miktsas, and the Mishnah's example is Ein Nishboim Elo Aldovo Sheba Mido V'Sheba Mishkol V'Sheba Minyan. That the whole, all the rules of Moda B'Miktsas requiring Yeshua only apply to things which are measured or weighed or counted. So that if I say you owe me 3 cubic feet, 3 cubic meters of wheat, and you say, no, I only owe you 2, so that's Moda B'Miktsas with reference to something which is Bamida, something which is measured, cubic feet, cubic meters. Or if I say, you owe me 10 pounds of flour, and you say, no, I only owe you 5. Well, pounds of flour are Bamishko, they're things which are weighed. Or Baminyan, I say, I gave you 12 eggs, and you say, no, you only gave me 6 eggs. Then we have the examples of then we have the rules of Moda B'Miktsas. But if something is not measured by measuring by volume or by weight or by number, Ketzat, for example, I come to you and I say, the Toveah comes and says, Bayis mole mosatilo. I gave you a whole house full, a whole room full of whatever, of wheat. V'chis mole mosatilo. Or, the Toveah says, I gave you a full purse of coins. V'halo omer, the Nitpa says, no. Eini yodeya, I don't know, but I'm giving you back the house, here's the house, full of wheat. If it's full or not full, this is what it is. Here, take it back. Or, here's the purse you gave me, and he gives it back to him. V'halo omer, eini yodeya, elo mashehi nachto atonotel. The house that you gave me, full of wheat, that's what I'm giving back to you. The purse you gave me full of coins, that's what I'm giving back to you. And of course, the house contains much less than a full room of grain. And the purse has much less than a full purse of coins. So you might think this is a classic case of Moda B'Miktsas. The Mishnah says no. Potur. He would be potur. Because a house full of wheat, or a purse full of wheat, that's not something which is measured or counted or weighed. There's no way of determining how much wheat there was in a full house, or how many coins there are in a full purse. However, ze omer ad haziz, suppose the person says, I left you a house full of wheat up until this little ziz, this little protrusion in the wall. It was full of wheat till that point. Ze omer ad hachalon. And the Nitpa says, no. What you gave me was not wheat filled up to the ziz, to the protrusion, 4 feet off the ground, but rather it was only up to the chalon, the window, which is 3 feet off the ground. Then chayav, because this is something measured. It's a measurement to say, it's not a measurement to say a full house or a full purse, but it is a measurement to say wheat up until that point, X. And the Nitpa says, no, it wasn't up until that point, 4 feet off the ground. It was only up until that point, 3 feet off the ground. That's a Moda B'Miktsas who is chayiv in a shvua of Moda B'Miktsas, a shvua sadayonim. And so we have completed lesson number 24.